Hi, I'm Dr. Gary Smalley, and I've been helping marriages for years improve, and I've got a couple of friends who have some very unique insights into marriage, and I want you to meet them.
Hey, thank you, Gary. My name is Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
And you know, marriages is something that I think we're all excited about and something that we think we can bring a lot of wisdom to. Isn't that right, Dr. Dobson?
Smalley?
Oh, well, that's sorry. Our faux pas. Yes, sir, we've got some killer marriage tips we think are really going to knock your socks off.
Yeah.
So let's do some dancing, get this party started, and help marriages out all over the country. Let's do it.
No, let's go ahead and just roll with the tips. No dance. When you get the chance, finish your wife's sentences
for her.
It's important that she knows that you know where she's going with a particular thought or sentence.
Yeah, this says, I know you, I love you, and you're predictable, but in a good way.
When on vacation, have fun, but make sure your wife knows exactly how much this thing is costing. Now remember, allowing her to feel guilt can actually be a good thing.
Right you are, because guilt is actually an acronym for good financial stewardship.
No, that's...
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
That makes sense.
It is, it is, it is, it is, it is.
That not make sense?
It is. It.
When you're in an argument, it's key to use the time that your spouse is talking to come up with what you want to say next. So it goes like this. You speak, and then while she's speaking, you think, and then you speak again.
And that's how the killer comebacks happen.
Surprise your wife with a weekend trip for you and your buddies. Husbands, doing this will help her see that you're taking care of your needs.
And taking care of your needs will give you the ability to take care of her needs. You know, putting your kids in timeout works for most parents, but putting your spouse in timeout can also be really effective. Putting your spouse in the timeout chair will hopefully help her see things from a different perspective, preferably yours.
And if you get any pushback, I'd let her know that you're having a hard time telling her apart from the children.
That's a classic. Okay.
Whenever your wife tells you about something she wants to buy, respond with the sound effect of a cash register. Here's a little role play for you. Hey, honey, I'm going to go buy some skinny jeans.
Cha-ching.
Hey, honey, I'm going to go get some bread now.
Cha-ching.
You know, guys, those are kind of horrible tips.
Okay.
I guess she didn't like them that much.
I mean, when you think about it, those were killer tips, and I think they'd, like, kill most marriages.
Well, I guess we're at an impasse then.
Awkward.
Hey, Gary, here's an idea, though. To keep the video rolling, let's just do the robot at the end and send this thing off with some fun, if you know what I'm saying. You want to do that with us?
I tell you what, I was, you know, a little bit uncomfortable by this. It's kind of, like, weird.
I want to say good morning to Lifeway Live Online. Thank you for joining us and being part of what we're doing here. We are right in the middle of our series called Faith and Family, Life in the Blender, because that's how tough it is to be in a family, to be in a marriage. This message today, I got so much advice on from women on what I need to say to the men. And so most of it unsolicited. Had I received any gifts or anything, I may have added it. I won't point to any of the preacher's wives that decided they should write today's message. I subtitled this, you know, what women need from their husband, but I subtitled it, how to divorce-proof your marriage. Statistics tell us that guys that are getting these five things right are far less likely to ever find themselves in divorce counseling. Let me read this to the guys before we start. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 7, men, you need to pay close attention to this passage. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be what, gentlemen? Hindered. Okay, let's look at this verse. We've been told to live with her in an understanding way, show her honor, and remember that she is an heir of the grace with you. You're not her boss. You're joint heirs. You're both recipients of the grace and honor God gives. But then comes the caution at the very end, so that your prayers may not be, say it again, hindered. So what does this mean, gentlemen? Then when you're not accomplishing this in your marriage, where are your prayers going? As the old preacher would say, they're just bouncing off the ceiling. They're not making it to heaven. They're bouncing off the ceiling. So that means you can be getting every other area of your life right, gentlemen. And then you come home and you don't honor her and you don't respect her and you don't treat her like the weaker vessel. I'll explain that. Then all of your prayers, as the old preachers would say, they just bounce off the ceiling. They never make it to Him. Now, we know that He hears them, but will He honor them? No. So that your prayers may not be hindered. If there's anything we don't need hindered, gentlemen, it's our what? It's our prayers. Our prayer, we really need Him to hear them, to answer them in however He wants to, but direct us. Because when we pray, part of praying should be listening, should be reading the Word, should be looking for God in all these areas. But if we're busy fussing and feuding with half of ourself, it's not going to happen. And so I want to start here before we get knee-deep into it with a disclaimer. Because I got a lot of advice. No kidding. I got a lot of advice from women. Met people in the grocery store. Hey, I'm waiting for you to tear him up Sunday. And I'm like, here's the thing. What I feel really good about sharing with you this morning, what I'm very strong on, are all the Bible verses and what God says how we should treat women. Okay? I'm dead on with that, and I'll say it with a loud voice. Even though I'm not a woman, the Bible tells us what you need, how you need it. But I'm also going to be relying on Willard Harley. He wrote a book. Some of you have it. If you don't, you can buy it on Amazon before you walk out of the building, but not during the message. It's called His Needs, Her Needs. Preachers have used that book and these five things I'm about to share with you for years. He's a Christian psychiatrist. The last 25 years, he did Christian marriage counseling only. And he has worked for a network of mental health clinics in Minnesota. He has interviewed thousands of couples, and he discovered the top 10 needs after all of that. That's the other part that I'll be sharing with you. So I say this. I don't stand up here as an expert on what a woman needs. We'll rely upon an expert and then the expert, God Himself. Does that make sense? And then when I share this with you, there might be a woman here that says, hey, that's not me. It may not be you because we're all uniquely made. But generally, in most all of the times, these are the five things that women need. Now, I've met women that'll say, no, I don't need my husband to say that to me. But I'm going to tell you, that's a one in a million. So when I share these with you, I hope you understand that this is coming from a man, and there are many women, and some may be watching online that'll say, how can we trust the opinion of a male pastor of the deeper needs of a woman? Well, one thing I have going for me is 30 years of Christian counseling and having couples set in my office. And then I rely heavily on Dr. Harvey and the research he's gathered over 25 years as a mental health care professional. So we set the stage. So let's look at the very first need. The first thing that Dr. Harvey says a woman needs is affection. Now, if we can keep the elbow slinging to a minimum, I would appreciate that. Here's the thing, guys, affection. Women can't do without it. It is basically gasoline in their tank. It makes her feel loved. It makes her feel cared for. It makes her feel approved by you. It literally holds a relationship together. A marriage without affection is in trouble, or it's in a downward spiral. Ephesians 5:28 says this, "In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." You get that, guys? We should love our wives as we love our own bodies. You spend an hour at the gym, mama should get an hour of your undivided time. Because the Bible tells us that my body belongs to my wife. My wife's body belongs to me. She's uniquely different than I am. And let's roll all the way back to Genesis just for a quick recap of the very first message of this series. You see, God made Adam, and then he made Eve. And it says, and when the two came together, they were what? One. And so what we see from looking at that picture is God put his most of his masculine attributes into Adam and then his feminine attributes into Eve. Somebody says, God is not feminine. God has feminine feelings. God is emotional. And so not all women are extremely emotional, but most women are more emotional than men. Men like to fix things. Women like to talk about things. That's just the bottom line. That's what gets guys in trouble so much. Mama tells you what's going on. You try to fix it. She don't want you to fix. She just wants you to listen. And so women are built different than men. Men have great upper body strength, much more than most women do. But lower body, percentage-wise, most women could outlift most men with their lower bodies. Maybe that was a design because of childbirth. Actually, women do better in long-term endurance exercises and races than men do. Women generally outperform men in endurance tasks, whether it's running, swimming, or whatever else. And I can tell you this too, women learn faster than men do in a group. Because when men get together in a group to learn anything there is, we have an ego to feed. Yeah, man, I got this. We're concerned about the guys around us making sure that we're on top of it. Women don't have that competitive edge. They're going to listen intently because they want to learn whatever task it is you're teaching because they are detail-oriented and they're not in competition with the ladies beside them. Men feel they have to compete. You don't believe me? I've got a friend who worked out at the plant years ago and he said it's amazing. After a shutdown and a little extra money, a guy pulls in with a boat, brings it to work to show everybody, and before you know it, everybody's buying boats. Guy pulls in with a new four-wheeler. Before long, everybody's pulling in with it. Guys are always competing. Women don't feel the need to compete. Women are built so much different than men are. And we have some very different needs. But her need for affection is great. Colossians 3:19, listen to this. Husbands, be sure to give your wives much love and sympathy. Don't let bitterness or resentment spoil your marriage. Don't be harsh with them and give them love and sympathy. And don't let bitterness or resentment spoil your marriage. Bitterness and resentment can spoil your marriage. Women need affection. Now, some of you guys are sitting there going, yeah, that's what I've been telling her. I'm trying to give her some affection. All right. This is the part that Kyle's supposed to come up and talk to y'all about. But I need to differentiate for you the difference between affection and sex. Men, they are two very different things, connected only by a thin thread. Affection is showing attention to your wife. Men think affection is what happens 5 minutes before they have sex. And men will say, well, I'm showing my wife affection by having sex. Women don't see it that way. Women completely separate affection from the physical relationship. They completely separate it. So guys, we think, We're sitting there in our Lazy Boy recliner watching the basketball game. Mama comes by vacuuming, and you're like, hey, it about to be a commercial break. She is dirty, nasty, and sweaty, and vacuuming up all the stuff you drug in the house. Do you think that's even the closest thing to her mind? Mm-mm. And she gonna tell you too. And then you're gonna get your precious feelings hurt because you wasted 2 minutes of the game thinking maybe you were gonna score a three-pointer during the commercial break. I'm talking as much code as I can because it's very uncomfortable for me. Is anybody missing all the various illustrations I'm throwing at you? Man, I don't like to preach through Song of Solomon either. There's parts of that I just don't want to alliterate for you. But affection and sex are two different things. Men feel they're the same. Here's the thing, men. Let's talk about affection and sex, because research has shown us that the majority of men that have an affair, it's because they're looking for sex and sexual approval and satisfaction that they're not getting at home. Most women have affairs because they're looking for affection and attention. See, men are looking for that girl to say, hey, you look good today. And women are looking for somebody to say, I understand. I want to sit and listen. And see, we have a new term we've been using now for about the last decade. It's called an emotional affair. Have y'all ever heard that term? An emotional affair. Let me tell you how the wolves do it. The wolves are these guys that I don't know why God lets them breathe. But you know, the average marriage needs a lot of attention. I don't know, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but the average marriage needs a whole lot of attention, okay? And so anytime a woman is feeling the lack of affection from her husband, somebody at work or someone else that says, hey, you got a new hairdo? Did you get your hair cut? Girl, that looks good on you. Oh, well, thank you. My husband hasn't even noticed. Well, my, you look bad. Have you been losing weight? You look great. And then all of a sudden that woman starts to get that where she's not getting it at home. And then so she'll spend more time around that individual to get those affection accolades coming in. And then she starts confiding and telling things to a stranger that should only be between her and her husband. And then these wolves, these guys, they just sit there and they listen. They're like, I know. I can't believe it. You should never be talked to like that or treated like that. And before you know it, that's called an emotional affair. She's found somebody that's giving her all of the affection and emotional security that she's not getting at home. Men, on the other hand, well, they're not getting or receiving sex at home in generally, not all, but in general, that's why men cheat. They're looking for something they're not getting at home. Neither one are right. One is not more wrong than the other. But I don't know how many women that I've sat with across my desk that have had an affair because of one of these wolves. Some guy moves in, and I just want you to know, they're not interested in your emotions or your feelings. They have one goal. Do you know what it is? It's to change conversation into a physical relationship with you. He doesn't deserve you. Well, I'll tell you how I'd treat you. No, he's lying to you so that he could achieve a sexual relationship with you. And most of those all end bad. I've known women that have left their husbands for one of these wolves, and within 6 months, she's been cheated on again. Dads, wolves start off about this age. Mm-hmm, that's right. You got a daughter? Guard her. And I've said this, we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, but I'm going to tell you right now. Daddy, if you're not hugging your daughter, and you're not kissing your daughter on the cheek, and you're not saying, I love you, you're wonderful, and you're beautiful, she's going to find somebody that will. A little girl's first love should be her daddy, and every man should be compared to him. Get to work, fellas. Well, you know, I'm not the affectionate type. I didn't think it was true, but I had a great big redneck sitting in front of me about 28 years ago and his wife, and she said, well, he just won't talk to me. He doesn't say he loves me. And honest to goodness, word for word, if there'd been cell phones and cameras, I'd have recorded it. And he told her, he looked over there and he goes, look, I told you when I married you, I loved you. That ought to be enough. He looked at me and said, right? There are members of the first church I pastored. I was 25 years old. Here's my marriage advice then. I called him by name and I said, I'll tell you what. Because he's about 6'100" and about 300 and something. He's a big old man. He had turned sideways, fit through a door. He was a big man. Back then, I could outrun him. I looked at him and I said, I'm going to tell you what. And she was about that big around. I said, what you just said, she should hit you over the head with that chair, crawl up on you and beat you about the face and neck. I said, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. I told you when I married you. Well, then maybe since the honeymoon is over, maybe she shouldn't have to tell you anymore either. Get it, big boy? And for the first time, she's like, oh, two can play that game. Your wife needs to hear that you love her. Well, I got a job. I bring home a pay. Yes, she knows that. She needs to hear it too. Women need that. Let's talk about just quickly a couple of ways that we can show our wives affection. First one is compliments. Now, let me tell you how King Solomon gave compliments. Y'all ready for this? He was a player. Listen to this. He says, your hair dances like a flock of goats running down a hill. Your teeth are white and not a one is missing. Woo! Now, guys, we can improve on that. But in his day, she was like, go on, get out of here. Stop it. Keep saying it. He was using words of affection. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. There's an age-old proverb, and I don't know who to give credit to. But when it comes to the difference between affection and sex, men are like microwaves and women are like crock pots. If you want supper, you better turn it on in the morning. Are y'all getting what I'm putting out here? How about showing affection with your actions? Right now, it's still legal in all 50 states to hold your wife's hand in public. Do you know when you hold your wife's hand in public, one of the things that kind of subconsciously triggers in her, she's going, I'm with him. I want everybody to know I'm with him. Y'all, that's still free in most states right now. I'm just waiting for somebody to tell me, hey, you can't hold her hand in public. You got a social distance. I'm about to social distance you. The other one is touch. Research has said most every woman loves hugs. Most every woman loves hugs. That's still free too. The last one is your focused attention. There's hundreds of these. I've just got to give them to you quickly. Your focused attention. That means when you're talking to mama, you're looking her in the eye. You're not holding the remote going, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna bring it home real personal, just quickly. Erica loves to watch documentaries, okay? And so she watched one. She watched it last week. And multiple times she's been trying to tell me about it. So last night, yesterday evening, we decided to turn on the news. I don't watch the news, but maybe 5 minutes a day. This is crazy. And it was her idea. Hey, let's watch the news. So I turned it on, and the next thing you know, she goes, oh, you know, just like that documentary. And after about a minute, I thought, well, I just better mute the TV because it doesn't work on her. I turned it off. And she just, I got the cliff notes of an hour program. She wanted to talk about it. I needed to listen to it. Now, I do know about it now, the topic. I do know about it now. But the point is, most men, we can't do two things at one time, especially talk to our wives. You know the old saying? The wife says, I don't know why you don't listen when I talk to you. You never hear what I'm saying. And the husband says, that's a crazy way to start a conversation. The best way to listen for most of us knuckle-dragging Neanderthals is stop what you're doing and look her in the eye, unless you're driving. Well, you can still look at her because she's going to tell you how to drive anyway, right? She got that extra gas pedal over there. Brake pedal. We have to show our wives attention. And so if you have your choice between spending 5 minutes with your wife and 5 minutes with your kids, your wife should come first. More on that later. So they need those conversations. Philippians 2:2 says, live together in harmony. Don't just be roommates. Live together in harmony. Live together in love as though you had only one mind and spirit between you. Y'all should be that close with each other. Unlike the video, you may know how she's going to finish her sentence. It's really important that you let her finish it, though. Bad habit that I struggle with, right? You know, it is. I struggle with that. I do it to everybody. Poor Kyle, you know, thank God he struggles with the same problem. Because we're talking over each other to finish the sentences, and I'm like, you just need to shut up and let people talk. I do. I struggle with that. Y'all keep me in prayer. They did some research. They took 2 to 4 year old little girls. They put microphones on them, and little boys. They microphoned them for a period of time. And here's what research showed: that 100% of the time, every noise coming out of a little girl's mouth was a word in a conversation. Little boys, 60% was conversation. The other 40% was motorboats, airplanes, and gunfight noises. Men don't use that many words. So by the time you get home, fellas, from the long day at work, whatever you do, you've used up your words. You have maybe 5 grunts left in you. Mama still got about 5,000 to 8,000 left, okay? And that you have to strategically, I got 4 left. Mm-hmm. Is that 1 or is that 2 hyphenated? I don't know. Women are just better at conversating than men. And listen, that's not just true of 2 to 4 year old little girls. They learn this and it becomes a lifelong habit. Women use more words than men. And I'm going to tell you what, if she's not sharing with you, she's going to share them with somebody else. One of the most dangerous things is everything your wife tells everybody else, she should be telling you. Maybe she doesn't tell you because you won't listen to her. I'm not a fan of girlfriend talk about marriage and stuff like that. I don't think my wife's girlfriends, which they're all church members because our whole life is around church. You know, men are sensitive. We don't want details about our relationship shared with other women for their advice. Most of them are in failed marriages or in struggling marriages themselves, and they're going to give you advice. That'd be like me being the poster child for starving Ethiopian kids. You know, what do I know about going hungry, right? The most stated fact in marriage counseling from a woman is this: my husband just won't talk to me. You got to remember the way God designed us. When it comes to sex, the switch is always on. When it comes to conversation, we don't use as many. Guys, when it comes to women, that's the way God does. I had a woman said, my husband, he just a sex fiend all the time. I said, Your Heavenly Father designed him that way, and He designed you a little different. Work on it. Figure it out. Conversation, affection. When it comes to affection, I don't know if Kyle went too deep into this with you last week, but I'm going to tell you what, men love it too, in public. Men love it when their wives come up in public and say, hey, whoo, this right here, this is my potbelly stallion right here. He number one. Men, we love it when our wives build us up in front of people instead of walking up and your wife go, oh, look, here comes a loser. Ladies, your words count. And men, your wives should not be the butt of your jokes in conversations. Now, I pick on everybody. I stir all the pots. But I try, and I'm working on it, but I'd never cut my wife down in front of other people. I never pick on her. We pick at each other in front of, and some people like going, are they fighting? We're just messing with each other. You know, every once in a while we'll be out in public and I'll be like, you do that again, girl, and to the moon, Alice. Like, oh, he's one of those. I'm scared of her. I would never. Along with communication is honesty and openness. Proverbs 26 says this, verse 23. Insincere talk that hides what you really think is like a fire glaze on a cheap clay pot. That's like a cheap clay pot with cracks in it. And so you just put a really nice outside on it to make it look like something it's not. Women need our openness and honesty. They need us to share with them. Men don't like to share their thoughts. You know why? Why don't men like to share their thoughts and their feelings and what scares them and what hurts them? Why don't we men like to share that? Well, you're not going to have a man speak up today, I promise. I'm just going to tell you. We don't want to seem vulnerable because we don't want to get hurt. If we tell you our weakest points, we're afraid you may come after us. You see what I'm saying? That's why when a wife knows her husband's weaknesses or the things that scare him or slow him down or things that make him uncomfortable, women, it's your job to protect your husband's weaknesses. Men, it's your jobs to know your wife's weaknesses and protect them. Had a couple came in and I suffer from the same problem. The husband said, she just can't say no. All somebody's got to do is ask her to volunteer or do something, church, work, community. She always says yes. She goes, well, I just feel so bad and everything. And I told him, I said, well, why don't you start doing this? You have to say, let me check my schedule with my husband. And I told him, I said, if you're standing there, you just go, oh, I'm sorry, we're busy. She's overextended right now. See, you said no for her and she didn't have to. See, you protect her that way. So when we know each other this well, the goal is never to attack. Ladies, never to bring it up in a conversation, even if it's been a decade, of his failures in that area. That's God's job. That's not yours. And so women need that kind of openness and honesty from us. They need us to be open and honest and tell them what we're thinking. Because if we don't tell our wives our thoughts and all of those things, they think we might have been sharing it with somebody else. Well, you'll tell your buddies. You're like, no, I haven't told anybody. Well, why don't you trust me? That's the first thing your wife said. What, you don't trust me? No, men just don't like to be vulnerable. Most men would be completely happy if we reverted all the way back to where all we did was walk around and beat things over the head and drag it back to the fire for you to cook. We'd be perfectly fine with those days because that's what men love to do. We love to beat things over the head, drag it back, and put it on the fire. But once you get to that campfire, mama needs to talk. And we don't like that. On most days, I know exactly when my wife gets off work. You know how I know? I get a phone call. She calls. It's to the point that even people here, they can go, oh, I bet that's Erica. They look at the clock. I'm like, oh, it's Erica. And what she's going to do is she just got off work. Now, here's how I know. Because every other time she'll call me, she'll be like, hey. When she gets off work, it's like, hey. When she does that, hey. I'm like, oh, she's in the car. It's 4:30 already? Right, Kyle? I'm like, oh, my gosh. I've got to talk. We have to talk. I have to listen from the entire time she leaves all the way until she's like, well, okay, I've been in front of the house now for about 5 minutes in the car. Unless I'm in the meeting or I'm splitting diamonds or something, I got to take that call. Because if I don't take that call, then there's going to be a different conversation at home. Oh, you were too busy to talk to me. Well, what was so? See, then you back yourself in a corner. Hello. I need 15 minutes. Sorry, guys, but I got to listen because I'm going to hear about from the time she pulled out of the gate and saw that skunk dead on the road to getting to work. Trials and tribulations, and then the drive home. I've literally heard her pull up and turn the car off and go, ding, 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 ding. I'm like, wow, you called me before you even got in the car today. But women need that from us. We have to be open, because here's the thing. When we're not open with our wives, they feel betrayed. And you say, well, I don't like to share because it makes me vulnerable. Well, if you don't share that with your wife, it hurts her because you won't share those things with her. It's a double-edged sword, guys. You can either share it with her and trust her to take that to the Lord to build you up, or you can keep it all bottled in, and then she feels insecure because you don't feel like you can trust her. Your wife needs to know she can be trusted with any and everything of yours. All your thoughts, all your feelings, and what scares you. Erica didn't believe it when we first got married, because what do I do for a living? I stand up in front of people on Sunday and I talk. And when I told her my greatest fear, she laughed. She didn't believe it. And many people don't believe it to this day. But I've been at this almost 30 years. Guess what scares me more than anything else? It's not bikers with a club in their hand. It's none of that stuff. You know what scares me? Walking from there to here on Sunday morning. That's my greatest fear. I know you don't believe me, but I'm scared to death to speak in front of groups of people. Now, if there's three or four of us, I'll bend your ear for hours. Out here, on the inside, I'm as nervous as a cat. Now, give me 5 or 6 minutes out here and I can kind of deal with it. But I have my little mini panic attack before I come out here and speak to y'all. I kind of have this thing where I need to see people coming into the room before I just walk in and talk. Because if I don't, I walk in and I'm like, oh, I don't know anybody here. I can't see anybody here. And I don't know about you. Now, that may seem completely weird to you, but that's my thing. And I told her about it. And I know she's prayed for me. And I just got to deal with that, speaking in front of people. But we've got to be open and share those things with her. Quickly now, wife needs financial security. Wives need financial security from their husband. Now listen, she needs emotional security more than she needs financial security. You ask most women, and you can say, either we don't buy that RV, and we spend more time together camping in the backyard and doing stuff with each other in the family, or we buy something and I work a little more and we enjoy it third weekend of every month. You know what mama's going to say? She goes, hey, let's don't get ourselves in that position financially and we just spend more time together. See, women have these needs. They have these emotional needs. They need emotional security. They need to know that they're safe when they're around you. They need to know, men, that you're going to guard them and protect them. You're not going to beat them down with your words. It's a crazy thing, but I was told this one time, and I read it doing research with women, battered women, and you know what women would say? Most women would say, "I would rather he punch me in the face than verbally assault me, because at least when he's mad enough to hit me, I see it coming." But I never know when he's just going to tear me down with his words. Man, you don't realize how much your words cut your wives. They're very sensitive. When that woman said that to me, that I had to be like, oh my God, I need to be very careful. And guys, we have to be careful how we use our words. But this thing about financial security, let me just read this, 1 Timothy 5:8. This is a pretty cutting verse right here. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially the members of his household, that's mama and the kids, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Look, guys, look at the last word, please. Look at the last word. If you don't take care of financial business, you're worse than a what? Some versions of the Bible will say a heathen. Now, this doesn't mean that she's on a Gucci purse run once a month to Vegas. But what this means is, fellas, God said it's your responsibility to be in charge of the finances. What if your wife makes more than you? As a pastor, that normally happens most of us. Just because she makes more doesn't mean that I'm not in charge of the finances. I need to make sure that we're financially secure. One thing that's been hard for me, I've always either been in school or buried in ministry, and she's always paid all the bills. She's always done all that. But recently, I've been trying. She doesn't have time to stand up here and debate me on the fact. I'm like, why don't we sit down together? So we both know and I can see and we can do this together. Doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen some. And I'm trying to do it more. But sometimes I'm like, hey, I'll be home by 4 and we can sit down and we can do all the bills and we look at our debt snowball and all that. And then I come in 11:30 that night from being up here. But women need financial security. They would rather be financially secure than have a bunch of toys in the driveway or the shop. That security, because women need that kind of security. That's how God built them. When they know that at the end of the month it's going to be zero instead of red, they feel better about it. They need that. So maybe we don't need the same toys that our neighbors have. Maybe we don't have to achieve everything that they achieve. Bottom line says we're not taking any of it with us anyway. And guys, whatever toys you have, if it takes you away from your family, maybe you shouldn't have it. Somebody said, hey, wait a minute, you talking about hunting and all that? Take her with you. I had a friend, he said, I did exactly what you said. I'm never taking her hunting again. They've been sitting in the blind all morning. She was down to a whisper. And then she said, oh, I got a cramp. She stood up, bumped the blind, fell out the door. Big old buck runs off. You're going to have that memory after you're eating the next buck next year, okay? Find things you can do with your wife. My wife doesn't like my hobbies, but that's okay. But I've gotten her involved in some. And when she teaches me how to make potholders, and I told her, I said, hey, can you get another loom? I want to learn. She's like, no, my thing. I'm okay with that. Proverbs 12:9 says this, it is better to be an ordinary person working for a living than to play the part of someone great, but go hungry. You know people that overextend themselves? Man, I got to buy that vehicle because everybody else has got one. I need to live in that neighborhood because all the hotshots live in that neighborhood. I need to achieve this level of education so I can be a hotshot like that. I just wonder when we stand before God as individuals, how many things will we have spent our time and effort and money on away from our family to achieve that God says, that really wasn't my plan for your life. Financial insecurity kills your wife on the inside because they crave that stability. Last thing, your wives need your commitment to the family. God says that you are the head of the household. You are to be the spiritual leader. You say, wait a minute, I've only known Christ for 6 months. My wife's been a believer since she was a child. She knows more of the Bible than I do. Doesn't matter. God says you're the leader. You start acting like the leader of the family. Men, God is going to hold you accountable for how you led your wife and your kids and the influence you made on them. And it's sad that most men are at church because their wives bring them to church. In the state of Texas, looking at the history of Baptist churches alone, and I'm sure it's true for almost all denominations, if it weren't for strong-willed women, there wouldn't be many churches in America today. Why? Because the women are the backbone. I read the story of a community that when they move in, normally the first thing in a community built is the... You would think it's a church, but sometimes it's the saloon. And the women put their foot down and say, we're going to turn this schooner around and head back. First thing we're going to build is a church, then a home, then the things that we need in town. Because church was the backbone. Guess where they held all their community meetings at? The church. Guess where all community things were discussed and voted on? In the church building. Man, you have to be the spiritual leader of your wife and your kids. You have to be Jesus in your family. You are to be leading your children. Listen, God will put moments in front of you. God moments. He'll put them in front of you. Those little teachable moments where you get to stop and say, now, hey. It's kind of like what God said. It's kind of like what the Bible says. It's kind of like what the preacher said. And then you have that little moment with your child. The greatest thing any child could say is, my father taught me. My father showed me the way of eternal life. My father modeled this. And I listen to every dad here. I don't care how long you've blown it. I don't care if you've been blown in it till right now. Today, change that and be the spiritual leader of the family. I mean, if you want to see your wife have a panic attack and the kids freak out, just go home and be Moses. And they're going to be like, what's wrong with dad? Seriously, the kids are going to be like, what did dad buy? How much trouble is he in, mom? But be the head of the household. Be the spiritual leader. Just because you bring home the bacon and run the calculator doesn't mean make you the head of the household. Spiritually, be the head of the household. Ecclesiastes 10 says, through extreme laziness, the rafters sag, and through idleness, the house leaks. Fellas, you don't take care of your house, it's going to crumble down around you. Take care of business at home. And then the last one is this. Fathers, don't overly correct your children to make it difficult for them to obey the commandments, Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up with Christian teaching and a Christian discipline. More on this later. Don't make it difficult for your kids to obey. I've seen it before my very eyes, right in this very building. Kid does something wrong and dad agitates them till they're verbally disobedient, have an explosion. And then dad jumps on them. You don't talk to me like that. You just agitated them to that point. That's what this verse means. We're going to talk about this when we talk about children. There's a difference between punishment and correction. There's a difference between punishment and correction. Punishment is to pay a penalty. Correction is so they don't ever do it again. So men, are we leading in these five areas? If I had to put a chalk line to it, I'm failing in all of them. But I know where they are and I know what it is. And I'm going to tell you, one of the best things you can do, fellas, is go home, let the dust settle from what I've just said. Wait till it's just you and mama and say, you know what? I would love for you to give me a list of three things that you feel I could start doing today to make sure you feel emotionally secure, physically secure, and spiritually secure. Now, ladies, please don't open a Word document and type 10 pages. Don't tell him how to do it. Just say, I would love if you were more affectionate in this way or that way. I would love it if you would just sit down and talk with me. Scariest thing in the world says, honey, we need to talk. And he says, about what? Maybe she just wants to talk. Maybe not about a thing. Men, God did not invent you to solve all your wife's problems. There was an argument in my office years and years ago. They're no longer here. And she said, I try to talk to him and all he does is cut me off. And I'm like, feed me in on the conversation quickly. So she was having a horrible day at work and a horrible problem with reoccurring people that she works with. And he says, I don't know why you keep telling me this. Anybody with an ounce of brains would quit that job. You just need to quit. And she screams at him, I don't want to quit. I just want to come home and tell you about it. Ladies, is there an amen at all today? Is that right? You don't want him to fix it. You just want him to listen. And guys, just hold it in. Hold it in. Because you know the brilliant man that you are, you could fix every one of your wife's problems. Most of you could probably fix them in one day. That's not your job. That's God's job. So ladies, if you need your husband to meet those three needs, talk to the only person that can fix it, your Heavenly Father. Start praying for your husband and building him up. And I'm going to tell you right now, if either one of you start acting like a wife or a husband in the Bible, you may get some pushback at home. There may be some challenge. Oh, so now you're going to be the spiritual leader. You know, she might be just trying to find out if it's real or not. Did Glenn make you feel bad, or is that God working on you? Is this a long-term thing, or is this just one of your quick-fix ideas? Be the leader. Because I'm going to tell you what, fellas, if you're married, no matter how your wife treats you or talks to you, you are still to give her the emotional security, physical security, and spiritual security God calls you to give. What God calls you to is not dependent upon how she treats you. Ladies, same way. You be the woman, the mother, the wife God called you to be, and let God fix your husband. Now, most men want to fix it like this. Most women don't. And women have fabulous ministries, memories. You got guys, you got to be careful. It's like talking to that. You get pulled over by a trooper. He walks up to the door and he says, oh, I got a cop in the back of the room. Do you know why I pulled you over? Don't say a word. It could have been your blinker. It couldn't be that you got a trunk full of guns, you know. It may not be those exotic animals you got in a cage. It was just a blinker. And you're like, yes, I was doing 97 miles an hour. I have a trunk full of machine guns and all this. And he's like, I pulled you over because your inspection sticker was bad. But get out of the car. So when your wife says, well, do you know why I'm upset? Don't say a word. Sit down, hold her hands. Honey, tell me daddy's listening. And then don't say a word. And don't make an excuse. Well, I only... Don't say anything. Those are her feelings, and guys, she's entitled to them. Those are her feelings. That's how she feels. You might say, honey, that's not true. You know, I only... No, that's how she feels. You got to deal with how she feels. And at that point, I wish there was automatic locks on every home. Because one question I ask in counseling is, so how did you respond? And it's normally, well, I left the room because I didn't want to have an argument. I said, no, you left the room and you left the argument right there. But in 5 minutes or 5 days of silently killing your spouse, it's going to come back up again and you're going to pick it up right where you left it. Am I right or not? Been married most of my life. You better deal with it right then and there. And that means if you ask to ask what is wrong and she says nothing, you keep asking until she finally says this. And this is what she'll say. If I have to tell you, it doesn't matter. Boo, I just saw laser beams. If I have to tell you, you're not paying attention. Well, I don't know. Why should I tell you? I've told you 1,000 times. Honey, could you just give me one more shot at it? Guys, carry a notebook around. Say, stop. Let's write it down. Honey, will you help me to see what I've done to make you feel like this and what I can do so that you don't feel like this? Have you ever heard of losing a battle to win a war? See, guys, we can't remember stuff very well. Women can. She knows what you wore on your first date. Careful, there's going to be a trap there one day. Hey, do you remember the first date we went on? I just know we got married in the summertime because I was sweating standing out there. It was hot. It was during the summer because she's a teacher and it had to be in the summertime. School was almost out. May. I've taken up a few more minutes of your time than I should have. But I want to finish by telling you this. Fellas, the most important thing you have is sitting next to you right now. Your wife is the most important thing in your life. It's not your career or your jumping to achieve higher things in your career. It's not your education. It's not your house. It's not your toys. It's your wife. When married couples are in love with God and each other, it's still tough to do. But strong marriages make strong families. Strong families make strong communities. Strong communities make strong churches. So I pray for you in your marriage for what you need to be a blessing, to be an example to your children, to be an example to other people around you. And then I pray what we can do collectively as a church when people see us loving God. And there's one ministry that I've always been interested in. And I've asked this of anyone that I've ever met that's been married over 30, 40, or 50 years. How do you do it? And 9 times out of 10, it's a version of this answer. We learn to love each other in spite of our shortcomings. Eventually, you'll get tired of fighting and arguing over this or that. Y'all will just leave that alone. You just love each other. Warts and all, you just love each other. That's why I think the Bible gives a great example that older women should be speaking into younger women's lives. Ladies, you've been married 40 or 50 years. Do you know how much knowledge you have of what it takes to stay married? Men, older men that have been married 40, 50 years, you know what you've got? A wealth of knowledge for young men. How many of you men here today will say that you're the same thing you were when you got married? Hopefully you've matured. Hopefully you've grown up. Hopefully you're not as selfish as you were the day you got married. Because when you get married, it's no longer about you. It's about mom and the kids. And it's being a team. Sharing, loving, and growing. That's my prayer for you. But I want you to know, if you're watching this online and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can't accomplish the things I just mentioned. You can't. It's impossible. And so for those of us that are believers, it's tough enough as it is. Can you imagine doing this without the power of the Spirit of God in our lives? Seeking Him for advice, praying to Him and listening, reading the Scriptures, reading your Bible. That's tough. And so I don't assume everyone sitting here knows the Lord as their Savior. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray. Because the greatest thing you'll ever do is accept the Lord as your Savior. You'll just surrender and give it to Him. The next greatest thing you'll do is put all of that God-filled stuff into your wife and into your family. So let's bow our heads. Father, I just come to You now. After a long talk, and I know I didn't touch on everything there is, but Father, I pray that the men in within listening range online that are watching right now with their wives, or that'll watch it later, and the men sitting in this room, we will be attentive to our wives' needs. It will become the paramount part of our ministry. May we see that our family is our first ministry and our job is merely what we do to gain money, to buy food and provide a safe home. Father, help us to see that money is not the answer to this. It's following You. So Father, for anyone watching online right now, I ask a simple question. You absolutely sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Are you absolutely sure that you'll spend eternity with Him? Or are you trusting in a church, a pastor, a denomination, or a ritual? Have you committed yourself to the Lord? God, forgive me, for I am a sinner and I know it. And Jesus, I recognize You as the Savior. You are the only hope for me or my family. And today, I surrender my heart and my life to You. Father, my prayer for this church is that we grow stronger families and that whatever attention we need in our families, that we will take it and we will be men of action. And there will be women that listen and follow the Lord and be patient with our husbands as He changes them. So, Father, bless our church, bless these marriages, bless everyone watching online in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.